levels of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Guns will be taken, and no one will be able to be off. We're going to take all guns.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
It's global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bankers in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Melissa Melton. Let's take a look at what's coming up on this January 17th, 2013 edition.
Tonight, breaking news from the InfoWar as a new gun confiscation bill is introduced in Congress. And the IRS wants to credit citizens who allow our government to confiscate their firearms. Plus, an InfoWars breakdown and analysis of Obama's war on guns as the battle for the Republic unfolds. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Our top story tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is breaking news as a gun confiscation bill has now been introduced into Congress. This is by Kurt Nimmo up at InfoWars.com. On January 13th, 2013, H.R. 226 was introduced in the House of Representatives by Connecticut Democrat Rosa DeLauro. The bill will amend the 1986 IRS code and allow a credit if taxpayers surrender their guns to the government. This is unbelievable. Strikingly honest language, including in the legislation, specifies the bill is part of the government's, quote, program to reduce the number of privately owned weapons. That's a quote. In short, a program to disarm the American people. And this goes on to say the inclusion of the IRS in the government's attempt to grab guns is especially foreboding, considering its effort to act as an Obamacare compliance enforcer. In July, we reported on a revelation made by Texas Rep. Kevin Brady that the tax agency planned to hire 16,500 new agents. And as Nimmo points out, the bill is yet more evidence that the federal and state governments are pulling out all stops now short of door-to-door confiscation to disarm the American people. And tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, we're actually going to take an in-depth look at Obama's outright war on guns. The Second Amendment, it shall not be infringed, but yesterday Obama showed he will do everything he can to infringe it. And as Aaron Dykes writes in his article, Barack Obama's bold use of executive orders to take action without Congress amounts to an outrageous unconstitutional overreach of powers and is impeachable action on its face. And Obama isn't even done. He has vowed to push Congress on a new assault weapons ban along with other legislative restrictions on the guaranteed Second Amendment, which shall not be infringed. Let's take a look at this clip of Obama's speech yesterday, infringing our Second Amendment.
First, it's time for Congress to require a universal background check for anyone trying to buy a gun. Second, Congress should restore a ban on military-style assault weapons and a 10-round limit for magazines.
Dykes also put together an in-depth analysis on just how our federal government is not going to let the crisis of Sandy Hook go to waste. in the effort to disarm the American people. Let's take a look at his report.
Aaron Dykes here for InfoWars.com. Obviously, I'm outraged just about the use of executive orders themselves. It's very abusive of constitutional powers. The fact that he has bragged through his aides to the media in Reuters that he's going to act without Congress. It's even more outrageous that he staged this press conference exploiting children, bringing them on stage with him. The same Obama who fake cried over the Sandy Hook shooting. The same Obama who released the White House photo showing him looking distraught. The same Obama who lied about the entire bin Laden account, a staged photo of the Situation Room supposedly watching the raid, the same Obama administration lying about Benghazi. But worse than that is the actual actions taken in those executive orders, and Obama's not even done with 23 of them. He's still going to ask Congress to reinstate the assault weapons ban and do even more. Now remember the words of Obama's first chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, now mayor of the murder capital of the world, who also wants gun control. He said, never let a good crisis go to waste. It's an opportunity to do something you couldn't do before.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
Now, it's on record the Obama administration has been pursuing gun control all along. I did a top 10 list of the actions of his previous administration. Also, Senator Feinstein was amassing legislation to reinstitute the assault weapons ban at the time of the election, and they were waiting to use the appropriate crisis that. So let's just remember they always wanted to exploit a good crisis, and that's what we've seen now. With that in mind, at least two of Obama's executive orders on gun control institute a brainwashing mentality. Remember that Eric Holder, Attorney General, said in 1995 he wants to brainwash the American public on guns the way they did with cigarettes.
And just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
And here inside those 23 executive orders are two political campaign propaganda points, one to launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign, and another to have a national dialogue on mental health with Kathleen Sebelius, the head of Health and Human Services, and Arne Duncan, the education secretary. Now, Obama, of course, has announced he's looking for ways to act without Congress, without having to even ask for permission to infringe upon the uninfringable Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights to the Constitution. With that said, look at how he's exploited health care in his executive orders. Here it is in the Weekly Standard. Obama asked doctors to help deal with guns. And he reminds them in several different executive orders, as many as seven executive orders could be put in this category, where he reminds doctors that they're able to report on suspicious activity. They're able to ask their patients if they own guns and if they have guns in their homes. They're able to flag people for threats against, for violent threats, report them to authorities. And what they're doing is building a mental health database flagging people for potentially unstable behavior. Obviously, we don't want crazed people going out in society and shooting up crowds of people. At the same time, we want to maintain due process, and we don't want to create a snitch culture where the entire Obamacare apparatus is used to spy upon Americans, which is all dangerous for the sake that we've seen what they do with the terror watch list. Once you get on it, it doesn't matter if you've ever done anything wrong. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to get off that list. And we've been told more lists are coming. Rahm Emanuel said in this clip, no fly, no buy.
If you're on that no fly list, your access to the right to bear arms is canceled because you're not part of the American family.
He was at the Brady Center and said his number one priority was to get people on a no buy gun list, that you lose that right. That was under the context of terrorism, but it's going to apply to mental health as well. And we've seen Chuck Schumer in the Senate and others already trying to introduce that legislation long before the Sandy Hook shooting ever happened. Kurt Nimmo wrote about it in December. He also wrote about it back in June and July of the last summer. And he's trying to introduce legislation to disarm veterans who have been identified with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But they're also going to unleash the ATF, the FBI, you name it, into these centralized health databases to flag other Americans who show symptoms of mental illness or other flags, and they will not be able to buy if they're on that list when the background checks are conducted. Now, Gun Owners of America warn how under Obamacare, the central centralized medical records would, quote, allow the FBI to troll a list of Americans for ailments such as post-traumatic stress disorder and deny them their gun rights the same way that the Veterans Administration has already denied more than 150,000 veterans. You better believe that's dangerous. It's a snitch list. It's a chilling effect on the Second Amendment, and we have to not go along with that. Now, again, this is about taking away your Second Amendment without due process. Obviously, we don't want criminals running around killing people, but felons are already barred from purchasing guns. There's already extensive criminal background checks. You have to fill out a two-page survey just to buy a gun, even at gun shows. But here, there's at least 8 of these new executive orders with new regulations through the ATF or through the FBI on these federal background check systems and more. Now, the Attorney General is going to review categories of people not allowed to buy guns. This goes along with the raising the mental health specter as a new way of disenfranchising people as they strengthen the federal background check system. They're telling law enforcement to, quote, run a full background check before returning seized guns. Now, that is very suggestive, because what is a seized gun? Is a seized gun any gun that's not registered with the federal government, even though it may be legally owned by a perfectly law-abiding citizen? Are these guns found during traffic stops, during home visits? Are they snitched out through spies and neighbors? What are these seized guns? And furthermore, how long will it take to run a full background check? We know they could do background checks almost instantaneously within minutes, but we've also seen in states that issue permits, like New York, getting that permit, getting the background check, checking the references can take months. Easily. That's if they even approve them. The ATF's going to send new letters to gun dealers on how to run back checks for private sales. Now, this is important. They've already tried to shut down private sales outside of gun shows. Now, by getting the federally licensed firearms dealers to help with the background checks, it effectively bans private gun sales if they then have to go to gun dealers and perform the background checks. And again, most of the gun purchases already go through background checks, but this is to restrict grandfathering of firearms, trading with your neighbors, and having guns that aren't strictly registered where they know where you live and everything. There's a lot of other rules. We're going to continue to analyze all these executive orders, but it's a very dangerous pattern. They're getting the first responders, the schools, the churches to all perform crisis drills and really expect a huge paranoid terrorism shooter spree when statistically it's very rare. Doesn't happen much. The real danger is the executive branch taking too much power, Obama or any other president acting as a dictator, acting outside of Congress. That's what we have to be outraged about. That's why we need to call for impeachment, and we need to say no to this death by a thousand cuts through these regulations. There's more. The full report's in my analysis, InfoWars analysis of Obama's war on guns, up at InfoWars.com. Signing off. Stay tuned and keep watching what they're doing with the legislation, because they say they're not done yet with the gun bans.
Obama keeps saying that he needs to take guns out of the hands of dangerous people. He said that kind of stuff over and over again. Who does the government actually consider to be dangerous, however? Well, as Paul Joseph Watson wrote last summer, Homeland Security Report lists liberty lovers as terrorists. A new study funded by DHS characterizes Americans who are suspicious of centralized government and reverent of individual liberty as extreme right-wing terrorists. And it goes on to point out how anybody who considers themselves anti-global, presumably those wary of the loss of American sovereignty, and anybody suspicious of the centralized federal authority that our government was set up not to have, that's why we have three branches of government, is a terrorist. And the list here just goes on and on. That's at InfoWars.com. Take a look at that. And so that's us, ladies and gentlemen. We're on the front lines of this battle. And the government has come out to basically say they're going to disarm anybody who wants to defend our Second Amendment and wants to defend our liberty and defend our right to bear arms here. And it's just amazing. And actually, in Obama's speech yesterday, he basically responded outright to Alex Jones when he specifically addressed pundits warning of a tyrannical assault on liberty. I wonder who he might be talking about. Here's Alex Jones.
There will be pundits and politicians and special interest lobbyists publicly warning of a tyrannical all-out assault on liberty.
Alex Jones here for InfoWars.com with a special report. Most people that watch television or even YouTube know that last Monday I debated Piers Morgan and got in his face and said, look, you're coming for our guns to enslave us. America is becoming a police state tyranny. Back off. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? 2 days later, Ron Paul came on my show, outgoing congressman, and he agreed. He said if they come for the guns, it's going to cause a civil war, 1776, part two.
Will you turn in your semi-autos?
Well, I might not even have anything to turn in for that purpose, but I don't think the American people will. I've always assumed that the line in the sand may well be drawn. If the federal agent marches in unannounced and they say, well, give me your gun and give me your gold, I don't think they'll do that, calmly. I think the American people will highly resent it and resist.
Now, as soon as I got off Piers Morgan, the White House released a press release and said they were watching and responded to our petition, your petition, to deport Piers Morgan for engaging in political subterfuge and trying to overthrow our Bill of Rights and Constitution. So we know they were watching. It became the biggest story in the country and the biggest story on Twitter for 2 days straight. It's had like 15 million views online on YouTube alone. So we know the White House is watching. We also know that it's come out in Homeland Security documents that myself and Matt Drudge have been basically investigated and surveilled and are in secret documents concerning the TSA, because we've been covering their out-of-control violations of the Fourth Amendment and conditioning the public to basically be slaves. But then today, I'm watching his speech while I'm live on the radio playing it, and he talks about these pundits out there who just want to make money, and they say that we're tyrants who want to enslave you.
This will be difficult. There will be pundits and politicians and special interest lobbyists publicly warning of a tyrannical all-out assault on liberty. Not because that's true, but because they want to gin up fear or higher ratings or revenue for themselves. And behind the scenes, they'll do everything they can to block any common sense reform and make sure nothing changes whatsoever. The only way we will be able to change is if their audience, their constituents, their membership says this time must be different.
It was incredible. He was clearly going after pundits, talk radio host, chief among them myself. And it's just really bizarre. I mean, I've had the White House respond to us before on their plans to shut down coal power plants and a few other issues, but this is one of his big initiatives to disarm us. And he said in the past he wanted to disarm us as a state senator. Then as candidate Obama in 2008, he said, I'll never try to take your guns. That is a conspiracy theory. And so now he's back with 23 executive orders and all the rest of it. Dianne Feinstein's on record, Mr. and Mrs. America, get ready, we're coming for your guns. And now, out of all these people out there, he's having to respond to me. And why is that? Because I tell it like it is, and we have tens of millions of viewers and readers and people that listen to the radio show. It's over 15 million a week. And their entire paper tiger facade corporate media, the top shows on MSNBC have 1 million. CNN, 500,000. Piers Morgan's ratings doubled all week after I was on. It's not that I'm something special. It's that people are sick of these establishment mouthpieces reading off teleprompters. So the good news is we're having an effect. They're having to respond. Now, again, you just saw that clip of the president where he's saying these pundits and others, he's going after people, implying we're crazy to say that tyrants want our guns. All of our founding fathers said that. Federal court rulings have stated that. We have a Second Amendment to protect ourselves from street thugs and government. That's on record. But they're trying to act like that's crazy. In closing, we know that Obama is deceptive. We know he's lied about everything across the board. I mean, he told poor people he wouldn't raise their taxes, and that's who they targeted.
And I can make a firm pledge, under my plan, no family making less than $250,000 a year will see any form of tax increase. Not your income tax, not your payroll tax,
not your capital gains taxes, not any of your taxes.
Almost all poor folks got payroll tax increases. It is so cold-blooded. And every day now, Fox Sports says you're in the Klan if you own a gun. The NRA are enablers of mass murderers. This rhetoric is what the Soviets did to people they were invading. This rhetoric is what Hitler did to the Jews. This rhetoric is what lets us know that they are using Homeland Security in a new war against the Second Amendment. And to confirm that, I saw a clip today, and we're going to play a short excerpt of it. The full thing is even more amazing, of Bob Schaefer on CBS saying, look, presidents beat Hitler. No, people like my grandfathers did. And presidents, you know, got civil rights, and presidents did all this. We can get restrictions on guns. We can beat the gun lobby. And he means the Second Amendment and the American people. These are all elitists with bodyguards that live in gated communities. The fact that even Bob Schaefer, Mr. CBS, is now saying we can beat, the president can beat the gun lobby, and implies we're like Hitler, just is incredible. Here's a clip of that.
Oh, surely finding Osama bin Laden, surely passing civil rights legislation as Lyndon Johnson was able to do, and before that, surely defeating the Nazis was a much more formidable task than taking on the gun lobby. This is a turning point in this country, and the president is going to have to do more than just make a speech about it. This is one of the best speeches I've ever heard him deliver. He's going to have to get his hands dirty. He's going to have to get in there and work this problem until he gets it done.
And again, this just happened today. Every channel I tune into of basically state-run media, they're talking about this. Then I saw a clip, and we'll play a piece of that, of Mika Brzezinski, whose dad brags that he helped put Pol Pot in, who killed 3 million people. I mean, a total technocratic tyrant who promotes slavery worldwide. This monstrous woman with the so-called conservative Scarborough is on there, and they play the NRA commercial that points out that President Obama, but also people like Gregory on NBC and others, have armed guards at these government-protected private schools, and that taxpayers in many cases are paying for it, and that it's hypocritical that everybody, even poor people, deserve to protect themselves, and that overall gun crime is going down because there's more guns out there in the hands of good guys.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school?
That's a real ad.
Yeah. That, my friends, is political pornography.
That's one of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Joe,
What's wrong with these people, Mika? Putting out an ad? Talking about the president's daughters?
They are out of step, out of the mainstream, totally out of sync with what's going on in our society. And quite frankly, after seeing that, I think some of the people who run that thing are sick.
And Scarborough takes his glasses off. Just, I've never seen anything this insane. And the other guy says, this is pornography. On and on and on. They act like it's preposterous. And whoa, the NRA blew it on this one. Because they're scared to death of this. Remember when the NRA pointed out that Israel armed their teachers because of mass shootings happening by terrorists and that it totally stopped? That's a well-known fact. But they came out and said it didn't exist. And said, ooh, NRA got it. Whoa. Israel even came out and said they were wrong. Those aren't mass shooters. Those are terrorists. Because of the hypocrisy of government elitists, rich elitists with their bodyguards, Dianne Feinstein with her concealed carry and her bodyguards, if that ever comes out, their debate is over. If we ever make the Second Amendment about what it really stands for, populist power, not the government armed to the teeth with 1.6 billion bullets and predators and drones and checkpoints and militarized police, but us armed to protect ourselves, our families from thugs and corrupt governments. As Thomas Jefferson said, you won't need the Second Amendment until they try to take it. As George Washington said, number one liberty is the right to defend yourself, the Second Amendment. Our country was born out of this. And they try to get up there and, as bad actors, I've just never seen anything this discrediting. I mean, I'm ashamed to be an American, she said. Well, you're not an American. You're a globalist scum. You're a would-be dictator. You're a thug. You're an authoritarian pig, like your degenerate, technocratic father. And you're up there with the disgraced congressman, you know, who basically had to step down after a dead body was found in his office. I mean, you know, you guys are a sick joke. And the NRA needs to make more ads pointing out that all these Hollywood people have bodyguards, like Michael Moore, and that his bodyguards get arrested with guns at the airport. They need to point all of this out, and that Feinstein and Schumer and Pelosi all have bodyguards, not just the president. The White House has put out a statement saying, how dare you put out a repugnant and cowardly report about my children? Well, the report was, your children are protected by armed force. Our children should be as well. The truth is, the authors of gun control against the public have always been tyrants. It's not gun owners who are Ku Klux Klan. It was the Ku Klux Klan that got laws passed at the end of the Civil War to disarm blacks because they wanted to be able to abuse them. You people are tyrants. And I see this as a badge of honor that the White House clearly is responding to the fact that I'm getting in their face. The corporate traitor media, the collaborator media, the tyrant promoting media said that I discredited gun owners by getting in his face and going, this is about slavery and you will not pass. You will not get this done. Go back to Redcoat England. Go back to where they've taken all the guns. Go back to where you fled justice. I'm so glad I did that because that's what they're scared of. They haven't invited me back on their big shows. They've run a Nightline hit piece on me last night because they know the sleeping giant is rising. You are the Paul Revere. I am the Paul Revere. You are the resistance. I am the resistance. Get out there and point out it's a bunch of foreign banks looting our country, bankrupting our nation, and bringing in world government. They've disarmed the entire planet, and everywhere they do, they then take the money, the property, and even people's lives. It is a badge of honor and shows our success and that our operation is hitting them where it hurts, that we're taking these dragons down because we're focusing on the fact that they want to take our guns to enslave us. Government's arming against us while wanting our guns. It's about a balance of power, a separation of power, and I am very proud that the would-be tyrant, Barack Hussein Obama, has responded to us, and that our citizens' petition and our citizens' filing of articles of impeachment has now gone mega viral. It is a badge of honor we're getting death threats and denial of service attacks and hack attacks. It is a badge of honor because it means that we're following in the footsteps of Paul Revere, Thomas Jefferson, and George Washington. We can defeat these tyrants if we recognize what's staring in our face. Again, if you are watching this transmission, you are the 21st century version of Paul Revere. Ride and ride hard from every mountain and every valley, from the low places and the high, that the tyrants are here and the time to take our republic back has now come.
This is just outrageous. Obama is basically bringing the very tyranny that he's telling us to turn a blind eye to. He's going to come in your house, set it down on your table, and tell you to look the other way. It is amazing. And meanwhile, a line is now being drawn thicker and thicker in the sand all across the country as law enforcement officials are coming out to say that they are not going to enforce any unconstitutional gun laws. And more sheriffs are vowing to not enforce these federal gun control laws. And Steve Watson filed this on InfoWars.com. Following Oregon Sheriff Tim Mueller's lead, three more sheriffs in parts of Oregon announced Wednesday in letters to U.S. Vice President Joe Biden that they would refuse to enforce any federal gun laws that are unconstitutional. And Crook County Sheriff Jim Hensley told local reporters, I'm going to follow my oath that I took as sheriff to support the Constitution. And actually, a mayor is now predicting a Waco-style standoff in response to Obama gun confiscation. Let's take a look at this clip.
Most people are law-abiding citizens and may go ahead and sell those or turn those over, but you're going to have a faction of people that are going to take a stand. And I can just predict a Waco-style standoff in some rural area, and it's not going to end well.
And ladies and gentlemen, as you'll recall, during the Waco siege in April 1993, after failing to execute a search warrant against the Branch Davidians, federal agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms burned down the Mount Carmel Center, slaughtering 76 men, women, and children in the process. Just amazing. And while sheriffs are standing up for our rights, some mayors are not, governors are not. We had Governor Cuomo come out to say that gun confiscation is an option. And now we have Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter declaring economic warfare on gun retailers. This is just amazing. Paul Joseph Watson and Alex Jones up at InfoWars.com. Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter has declared economic warfare on gun retailers, threatening to treat them like businesses who traded under apartheid in South Africa. by withdrawing investments in companies that refuse to stop selling semi-automatic rifles and blackmailing retailers into becoming frontline facilitators for gun control. Let's take a look at this clip.
Philadelphia was one of the first pension funds to divest from companies doing business in South Africa. We saw that movement go all across this country. Irresponsible corporate behavior will not be tolerated.
I mean, look at that guy. Look at this self-satisfied expression he has on his face, infringing on your rights. It's pretty disgusting, and I would like to just take him off the screen if we could, please, because I can't even look at him anymore. And as if this all-out war on our Constitution isn't enough, Hollywood and media seem complicit also in demonizing our founding fathers as well, as I filed this special report on a new AMC show called We Hate Paul Revere. Melissa Melton here for InfoWars Nightly News. While popular patriotic shows like American Guns are getting canceled, what is slated to air is a new AMC show coming up called We Hate Paul Revere, a sitcom set in 1772 Boston that features two brothers who literally, as the title suggests, hate patriot activist Paul Revere. Revere was known for his midnight ride through the New England countryside to warn Sam Adams, John Hancock, and other patriots and patriot militias along the way that British troops were coming to destroy colonial military stores. Why does AMC think it's okay to openly demonize patriot activists who helped found this nation like Paul Revere? Why is that all right? And it's not the first time we've seen it recently either. ABC is set to premiere a show called Founding Fathers, which portrays a fictional Texas militia controlling a small town. Head writer Rich Diovidio likened the main character to Donnie Brasco, an FBI agent infiltrator. Now flashback to Alex Jones' film Road to Tyranny, and this undercover video of a FEMA representative giving a presentation to a group of police officers.
Who was the first terrorist organization in the United States? Who?
Founding Fathers.
You mean Thomas Jefferson?
Oh, yeah.
You mean George Washington?
Oh, yeah.
Paul Revere?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Did they try to scare people?
Oh, yeah.
They tried to intimidate the British. Did they use acts of violence? Your founding fathers, my founding fathers, were involved in acts of terrorism.
The rep tells the cops the first terrorist organization in the U.S. was the Founding Fathers, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and yes, even Paul Revere. So what is the standard dictionary definition of terrorism? 1. The use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce, especially for political purposes. 2. The state of fear and submission produced by terrorism. 3. A terroristic method of governing or of resisting government. So by this definition, let's take a look at some actual terrorism. While the establishment tries to brainwash people that up is down and black is white, what's next for primetime? A sitcom called We Love Terrorists set to a laugh track? Or an Al-Qaeda reality TV show? In this time of outright attack on our republic and our constitution, what we don't need is more media attacks on our founding fathers and patriot activists like Paul Revere. In fact, what we need is more Paul Reveres. We need 10,000 Paul Reveres to ride through the countryside and warn people about the tyranny that's enveloping our nation at this dark hour. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton. And finally tonight, we turn to an article from Mike Adams of naturalnews.com. Obama turns doctors into gun control snitches running healthcare spy network. If you needed another reason to avoid visiting a doctor, Obama just gave you a new one. As part of Obama's 23 executive orders announced today, doctors will be transformed into gun control snitches who are ordered by Obama to ask patients about guns they might have at home. And if you read the executive order text, you'll see that it means that doctor-patient confidentiality is now history, and doctors will be pressed to start interrogating their patients about whether or not they own guns so that this information can be reported to the government. And the CDC has also been ordered to treat gun ownership as a disease. And later, I talked to Dr. Russell Blaylock all about how Obama's CDC, which he refers to as a scientific agency, is really nothing more than a government propaganda arm, actually. And that takes us to the quote of the day. There will be pundits riding through town warning of an impending invasion, not because that's true, but because they're crazy and want attention. And that, of course, is talking about Paul Revere and making a joke out of the line that Obama's giving us about how there's pundits that are going to warn you about this tyranny encroaching on your liberty, which is the very tyranny that he's bringing to encroach on our liberty as we speak. It's just amazing. And that was actually sent to us by a follower of our InfoWars reporter Twitter, at InfoWars Report. So thank you very much for sending that in. Actually made me laugh. Gallows humor. And with that, we now go to a special report by Mike Adams of naturalnews.com. He's going to talk more about how the CDC basically lies about its vaccine data. And he's going to also give us some natural cures to the flu that don't involve shooting yourself up with dangerous chemicals.
Hello, welcome to the Health Ranger Report for InfoWars Nightly News. And today we bring you five solutions to preventing the flu so that you don't become a victim of the vaccine industry or Obama's sick care mandates. Here's how to do it. And by the way, this is just part of the solutions that we like to give you here from time to time at InfoWars.com. And it's especially important for patriots to stay healthy during the coming times, which are going to be very, very challenging. You can't afford to be sick because that makes you a victim of the healthcare system or FEMA or whatever might be happening. So this is what you need to do to stay healthy. Number one, avoid vaccines. Avoid all vaccines. As we published on Natural News, the CDC has admitted that vaccines contain aluminum, mercury, MSG, and formaldehyde. All four of those are openly admitted on the CDC's website. We've published the stories linking to the CDC, showing the screen captures, and so on. Search it if you don't believe me. You can check it out right there. All four of those things are neurotoxins. They all damage your nervous system. They also suppress immune function. So by getting a vaccine, you're actually suppressing immune function, which is why most of the people who are getting the flu today, about two-thirds, are people who got vaccinated with flu shots. So think about that. If flu shots worked, then all the people who are in the hospital with the flu should be people who never got vaccinated, right? Right? That would be logical, but that's not the case. And don't expect the mainstream media to ever tell you about any of this because, as you know, they don't want you to know this information. Now, moving into the list of what will actually work to protect you from the flu. Let's start with number one, which is vitamin D. Now, I'll give you five things here. Vitamin D is number one. Virtually everyone is deficient in vitamin D, especially if you have dark skin pigmentation. The darker your skin, the more sunlight your skin blocks, and the less vitamin D you're going to manufacture automatically. So a fair-skinned person can often get some level of vitamin D in the spring and summer, and they can store it up and still survive through the winter on it without growing cancer tumors, which is what happens in the absence of vitamin D. But someone who has dark skin will typically be deficient even in the summer, especially if they're in North America, and especially if they work indoors. So they're going to be deficient all year long, and then during the winter, they're going to be completely out of vitamin D, or as out as you can get, and they're going to start growing cancer tumors. This is why breast cancer and prostate cancer is so much more aggressive in African Americans, or anyone with darker skin, more aggressive in Hispanics than in whites, or in Asians than in whites, for example. So you got to get vitamin D. I take 5,000 to 10,000 IUs a day, especially during the winter. That alone will stop about 78% of all cancers. Just vitamin D. It will also stop flu far better than any flu vaccine, especially given the vaccines actually create more susceptibility to the flu. So moving on down the list, a lot of people forget about sleep. If you're lacking sleep, you are immune suppressed. And during the winter, a lot of people are lacking sleep because they're not getting the light messages that control the hormone levels in your body, you know, to wake up in the morning. A lot of people have to get up when it's still dark outside. And so they're not getting the hormone awakening signals that they're supposed to get. Their body and their mind isn't really awake like it's supposed to be. They force themselves to get up anyway and go to work, and it causes stress. That stress creates susceptibility to influenza. So get more sleep, especially during a flu pandemic. All right, the next item is to reduce your overall chronic stress as well. And this includes workout stress. So a lot of you like to go to the gym, you like to work out. I do too. I have a home gym and I work out there usually, actually almost every day, especially now. I've been back into working out. But the point is, if you overdo it, then you're going to suppress your immune system. So the worst place to overdo a workout is actually in the gym, because that's where a lot of people come in who are marginally sick, and they're coughing all over the equipment and the gear. They're sneezing into the air. And just by walking by one of those people, you can catch the virus, a novavirus, for example, that's going around right now. Or you could catch bacteria that can cause lung pneumonia, which can be fatal. So I say, you know, just have a mild workout. It's great to lift weights and do some cardio, but don't overdo it to the point where you're exhausted, because that makes you highly susceptible to catching the flu in the gym. In fact, the last time I ever caught the flu and had symptoms was from working out in a gym, and that's when I stopped going to the gym and decided to work out at home. Okay, next item. You gotta have good nutrition. This is basic. So this means you gotta have zinc in your body. Trace minerals are really crucial. So whatever your source of nutrition might be, it might be superfoods, it might be nutritional supplements, it might be a trace mineral beverage like InfoWars offers, whatever the case may be, you gotta get trace minerals into your body, especially including zinc. Also, on the water-soluble vitamin side, I really like high-dose vitamin C. Now, vitamin C helps prevent flu infections as well, and it boosts the immune response. Now, there's a good way to think about this. About one quarter of all the genes in your body are there to fight infections. It's true. About 25% of your genetic code is there to fight infections. But those genes lay dormant unless they're activated with the right nutrients. So you could have those genes, which is a blueprint for perfect health. You have the same genes that I have. We all have the genes for perfect health. But if we don't get the right nutrients and the right minerals in our bodies, those genes are not activated. And it's sort of like trying to fight in a UFC match with your hands and legs tied together behind your back. You're not going to win. You know, you're not going to win if you can't unleash your innate skills to fight against an invader, right? So nutrition activates your immune response and helps you conquer the flu before it even becomes symptomatic. That's the other thing a lot of people don't realize. If you're healthy, you may, quote, get the flu, and you may overcome the flu and never show a symptom from the flu. So you may not even know that your immune system did its job. And that's why the immune system doesn't get a lot of credit, because a lot of people don't know that it actually did anything. Okay, last point on this is personal hygiene. It's very simple. Wash your hands. You don't have to be obsessive about it, but wash your hands after contacting other surfaces such as doorknobs or shaking someone else's hand. Or, let's say, handling money or receiving money from someone if you're purchasing something and you get some change back. Whatever you're doing, wash your hands, and then especially avoid touching your eyes, your mouth, your nose with your hands during the flu season if you might have touched something else. It turns out that the vectors of entry into the human body for the novavirus are often the eyes. All that has to happen is a microscopic virus has to touch the liquid in your eye, and boom, you're infected. Or just your nose or the corner of your mouth or a sandwich that you're eating and that you touch the sandwich and then you eat the sandwich, boom, you're infected. It's that simple. It's that easy. So that's why you got to practice good hygiene during the flu season. And in addition, one last sort of bonus item is you can also use a lot of herbal tinctures. You can use products. I want to plug the InfoWars store, which has, I believe, the EnterHealth Botanicals flu pack. And it's got 8 different items in there, including echinacea, osha, honey, and propolis, and some other immune support items that are very, very powerful. So you don't have to necessarily get that item, although that's a great item, but get some items in your body, like garlic is good, ginger is good, echinacea is great. But don't forget the basics. Don't forget the vitamin D, the vitamin C, the zinc, the sleep and the rest that you need, and don't forget to wash your hands. It's really all common sense, but this is not the stuff the CDC tells you, because they want you to go out and get vaccinated and not to consider any other options. So that's the report. This is Mike Adams from naturalnews.com for InfoWars Nightly News. And coming up next is an interview with Dr. Russell Blaylock. So stay tuned for that.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
We are joined now in this segment by Dr. Russell Blaylock, MD. He is a nationally recognized board-certified neurosurgeon who pioneered some of the most common forms of brain surgery used today. He's a health practitioner and author of numerous books and scientific studies, including Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, and Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. He has exposed how MSG and aspartame can cause diseases of the nervous system, and he exposed the H1N1 vaccine scam. Dr. Blaylock writes a monthly newsletter called the Blaylock Wellness Report, and he can be found online at RussellBlaylockMD.com. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Blaylock. I don't know if you've been following that the president has put out now a new plan, the plan to protect our children and our communities by reducing gun violence. And there's a huge focus in here among these 23 new executive orders on mental health, increasing mental health services. And one of the things they're going to do is they've referred to the CDC as a scientific agency, and they're going to give them $10 million to do gun violence research. Why do you think that is?
Well, the CDC has clearly demonstrated itself as not a scientific organization. It's demonstrated nothing more than a ministry of propaganda for the state. When we look to their reactions and so-called scientific output on fluoridation, on vaccines, on all these issues, it's purely political. It's not scientific. In fact, it defies the scientific evidence. And they go to great lengths and great measures to go against the science. They're in the hands of the pharmaceutical companies, which is working directly with the government to have these people forced to take vaccinations. And then it'll be psychotropic medications, and it'll be forced psychological evaluations to put them on these medications. So it's unending, but I wouldn't trust the CDC. They've shown themselves not to be trustworthy.
Definitely. And it's interesting that you mention the psychotropic medications, because in here it actually specifically calls for research on gun violence and violent video games and how firearms are used in violent deaths, but it doesn't say anything about these psychotropic medications and the correlations between antipsychotic medications and these mass murders, mass violence. Actually, they say they're going to refer all of these young people to treatment, is what they say. What do you think they mean by treatment?
Well, I think it's going to be forced medication that's going to be the major treatment. And as you said, if you look at the really mass shootings in schools, virtually all of them are connected to the use of psychotropic medications. And the concerns with the psychotropic-type medications is the fluorinated medications, like the SSRI medication, which if you look in the physician's desk reference, which tells you about complication side effects, all these medications, the side effect that's mentioned most that we should be concerned about is homicidal tendencies, homicidal ideation. In other words, thinking about killing people and suicide. And when you look at the soldiers coming from Afghanistan, Iraq, they were put on a fluoridated anti-malarial medication, which the PDR significantly warns physicians that this is associated with hostility, homicide, homicidal ideation, and suicide. Well, what are the soldiers doing? They're returning from combat under enormous stress, put on these medications. They go home. And some of them are killing their families and committing suicide. Same thing happened to Canadian soldiers. They had an elite unit that was placed on this very same malarial medication, and there was so much violence they had to disband the entire unit. Now, this was an elite unit this happened to. So we have extensive evidence that these SSR medications are producing in certain individuals homicidal tendencies. Yet his answer is, well, we need to have forced psychiatric evaluation of every man, woman, and child in America and forcibly placed on these medications. Well, we could expect more homicides and more suicides if he does. And of course, the pharmaceutical companies have made absolutely hundreds of billions of dollars on these medications, some of their biggest sellers. So they have a lot to gain by it. And the CDC has been shown to be connected to the pharmaceutical companies financially. They act as their protectors. They act as their mouthpiece. And so, I'm not surprised at this at all. But You know, the other thing people need to understand is that the Soviet Union switched from its gulag system, in other words, its mass prisons. They switched to psychiatric units as their new gulag, psychiatric gulags. And so they put their so-called enemies of the state, those who disagreed with the communist government, in mental institutes and forced them to take these psychotropic medications with the idea of making them enter a state in which they could no longer think logically. Then they're helpless and they're controlled by the state. Some were converted by these drugs to virtually become agents of the state. But in the Soviet Union, what they did, they just declared anybody who disagreed with the state as mentally ill. That was the definition, because how could anyone be opposed to utopia? Therefore, that's prima facie evidence.
We're seeing that again today with the Department of Homeland Security saying that liberty lovers are mentally ill. Like if you disagree with the government, basically, you have a mental illness. We're seeing that actually today. And it's interesting you say that, because in this report, it actually says, quote, "Research on gun violence is critical public health research that gives all Americans the information that they need." But the information they're not including in here is anything to do with the correlation between psychotropics and these mass shootings. And actually, it goes on to specifically say they're going to support young people and individuals between the ages of 16 and 25, when we know that the FDA upgraded their black box warning on these SSRI antidepressant medications to that specific age group because there was a higher increase of suicide. And we know that in a lot of these mass shootings that have been highly publicized, such as Columbine, such as the Aurora shooting, and this new one in Newtown, these people were all in that age group, and they were all these suspected shooters and shooters were in that age group, and they were all on these kinds of medications. So it's pretty amazing they're saying they're giving us all the information when they're really giving us the exact opposite of that. It seems like propaganda.
Well, it's pure propaganda. And what we know in terms of neuroscience is that the prefrontal lobes, that is the front part of the brain, is what controls our ability to be operated within a society. In other words, to resist doing destructive social acts. And that at the period of adolescence is when that part of the brain is not fully developed, and it, that person's at the greatest risk of becoming a risk to society. Well, in certain individuals, they have very little development at that stage, and if you put them on these drugs, it further impairs development, further impairs their ability to control their emotions, and so they tend to act impulsively like a psychopath. That's what happens to the psychopath. The psychopath has no emotions. They feel nothing towards their victims. They have no shame. They have no conscience. And the reason is because that prefrontal cortex of the brain is dysfunctional. Well, this is what you're probably doing with these drugs. You're also producing abnormalities in the development and maturation of that part of the brain. So in a certain number of people, you're going to push them into psychopathic behavior.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We're all going to be spending $10 million for the CDC to write a paper on how all these shootings are caused by a video game, and they're not going to talk for even 2 seconds about these medications. But switching gears, I want to also ask you about this flu pandemic, because it seems like the media is really stirring up a huge panic right now that we all need to rush out and get our flu vaccination right away. There's going to be a shortage. We're all going to possibly die from the flu. Meanwhile, the CDC has actually come out and said it's only moderately effective. It's not even really effective. Why would we all rush out and get something that's not even going to treat, even at the most basic common sense level? Why would anybody go out and get something that's not even going to help them to cure the thing it's supposedly supposed to fix?
Well, you know, if you look at the mortality and morbidity weekly report, which is the main report by the CDC on the flu, the latest one, says that the vaccine's not moderately effective. It says modestly effective.
They just keep changing the adjectives, huh?
Not even effective in a third percent.
Wow.
People. So two thirds, it has no effectiveness. Now there's even more shocking news, which the public has never heard of. Vast majority of physicians have never heard of. It came out last year and was reported as a series of articles in the journal Virology, the chief journal for virus. And what this study found, it was done in the Netherlands, was that children who have yearly flu vaccine are unable to produce cell-mediated immunity that protects them against pandemic viruses and protects them against mutating viruses. So if you
oh, wow.
They cannot produce these cells. Now, these are called nonspecific CD8 cytotropic lymphocytes. And what they do is they kill viruses of any kind. Now, that's a major protection against pandemics in the world. Well, they found that if you were getting the flu vaccine every year, you cannot mount that immunity. And therefore, for instance, if the bird flu comes, and that's one they tested, you cannot develop immunity against it. If you develop H1N1 exposure, you cannot develop immunity against it because it paralyzes this particular type of immune system. No one's talking about that, but this is a major protection against pandemics. Now, let's say 90% of the children starting at 6 months of age every year gets this vaccine and a pandemic does hit. Those children are going to have severe damage, and a lot of them are going to die unnecessarily. Children who have never been vaccinated with these flu vaccines are going to be able to have very mild reactions to it. This has been done. You know, the ferret is an animal that we use to test viruses because their immune system is very much like humans. And so all viruses are tested. And they found in ferrets, the ones who had just natural flu infections every year, not the vaccine, that when they were exposed to the bird flu, they had very mild reactions. Their brain was barely affected at all or not at all, and their lungs looked pretty good. But the ones who got seasonal flu vaccines every year in these ferrets had devastating brain destruction and devastating lung destruction. So the fact that these children are getting these vaccines every year and being frightened into it actually is making them infinitely more vulnerable to these pandemic viruses. This happened with H1N1. I don't know if people remember, but with H1N1, the Canadian virologist reported that people who had taken the seasonal flu vaccine actually not only had a higher rate of infection by the virus, but had a worse reaction, were more likely to be hospitalized and more likely to die.
Wow.
The ones ever had a flu vaccine were quite resistant to these damaging effects. Now, that's big news.
That's huge news. It's very much like the chickenpox vaccination being linked to all of these cases of shingles. It kills your natural immunities to shingles to give all these people weakened chickenpox virus. And after the chickenpox virus came out and was mandated, I think shingles cases went up 90% in the following 3 years. And they knew that when they made it. They were able to come in and make two vaccines and make double the money off of it. It's amazing. And you have all of these institutes coming out and different organizations. We have like the Institute of Medicine came out and they reviewed the children's vaccine schedule here in America and they said that it is great and that the benefits outweigh the risks. And we also have the American Academy of Pediatrics going on record to say we need to put Thimerosal back in our vaccinations. Have you read about that?
Yes, and if you look at the largest study done on the effectiveness of flu vaccine, which is done by the highly prestigious Cochrane database, they looked at 51 major studies, over 260,000 children. And what they found is children less than 2 years of old, 2 years of age, the flu vaccine had no better effectiveness than a placebo. Children over 2 years of age, at best, a third of them developed antibody titers to the virus, but that's still not protection. You see, and this is one of the tricks they use, and this is how the CDC works as a propaganda network. They don't say the flu vaccine protects you against the flu. What they're saying is that you develop antibodies that should protect you against the flu.
Semantics.
Because that's not your major protection against viruses. It's cellular immunity. And as I pointed out, the studies show that the vaccine actually powerfully suppresses cellular immunity. And cellular immunity is what protects you against cancer as well and degenerative brain disorders.
So then you'll have to rely on the medical community even more. Yeah, well, they've been pushing, the CDC really pushing. They have huge media campaigns for this that they've put out, pushing flu vaccines on pregnant women now. They didn't used to give vaccines to pregnant women, but they're pushing it on them. And what I have never understood, even at the most logical sense on this, is that on their own website, the CDC says that children 6 months of age or younger are not to get the flu vaccine. So how is it that an unborn fetus being exposed to the vaccine is somehow okay? Makes no sense.
If you actually look at the research instead of the nonsense propaganda put out by CDC and these people promoting the vaccines, if you actually look at the research, it clearly shows that if you stimulate immunity during pregnancy or shortly thereafter, it can produce devastating abnormal development of the brain. In fact, it drastically increases the incidence of autism and schizophrenia both. And I warned before on Alex's program that if you start vaccinating pregnant women with multiple vaccines, you're going to see a dramatic increase in the incidence of schizophrenia. Well, schizophrenia reaches its peak during adolescence. So there's going to be
antidepressants.
There's going to be a time span between the vaccination program and the dramatic rise in schizophrenia. And they're going to do just like autism. They're going to say, well, we don't know why schizophrenia has increased so dramatically in the last 5 or 10 years.
Exactly.
But the research clearly shows you could produce schizophrenia by immune stimulation with vaccines during pregnancy and shortly afterward. Well, children are getting massive numbers of vaccines during the most intense period of brain development, which if you look in the scientific literature and actually look at the science, that's insane. That's absolutely
sounds
insane.
Like eugenics to me.
Well, it's worse than that because you're damaging the developing brain of hundreds of millions of children, which is going to change them for the rest of their life. They're going to have trouble thinking. They're going to be socially disrupted, and it's going to be permanent. It's going to be very difficult to alter that and change it. But parents are not looking to people who know the literature. They're looking to people who are just listening to propaganda. I mean, your pediatrician, for the most part, never researches this. He gets material from his union, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is a union. And
exactly.
A pharmaceutical company.
I've done research into the American Academy of Pediatrics, and a lot of their fellows actually work for organizations like Monsanto and Dow, and it's pretty horrifying.
Now, you mentioned the American Pediatrics saying they want to put mercury back in the vaccines because it's safe. Well, it's nonsense. There are over 2,000 studies that were done years ago that showed that the mercury is a tremendous brain toxin. And I've written about it in numerous articles published in the literature. Others have. And so their response is, well, it's the methyl mercury that's dangerous.
It's methyl, not ethyl. Like, that somehow makes it better.
The amount of mercury in the brain is higher with ethyl mercury than it is with methyl mercury.
That's what I've read in the studies, yeah.
And it's converted to a type of mercury, inorganic mercury, which never leaves the brain, which is the most damaging part of all mercury. And it is consistently shown to produce aggressiveness and abnormal development of the brain and chronic inflammation of the brain that can last a lifetime. Now, the dose of the mercury in these studies is producing these effects is in nanograms. So we're talking about extremely small concentrations of mercury doing that. Now, how did they justify the mercury being safe? They used some phony studies, which were shown and pointed out by the people that are real experts in mercury to be nothing but concocted studies that were totally misinterpreted when actually the study said that it impaired the brain, the developing brain of children. So the American Academy of Pediatrics, like the CDC, has become a propaganda network. It's no longer has anything to do with science. They're phonies.
One of their other recommendations had to do with the fact that organic food is not healthier for you. And this is a quote from one of the co-authors of their, quote, study. He said that it was not better for you because there have been no long-term studies to show that eating less pesticide is healthier for you. That's actually what he said. So.
And yet, I wrote one of my recent newsletters on pesticides and foods and the effect of pesticides, herbicides, on the tremendous increase in hematologic malignancies, which I've been astounded how fast they've increased. They've just increased enormously. And when you look at the variables of what could have changed to produce this tremendous increase in lymphomas and lymphosarcomas, leukemias, the number one culprit is herbicides and pesticides. When you look at the dramatic increase in neurological diseases, particularly in the United States, it's directly connected to pesticide herbicide exposure. So it's just another example of how they defy the science and they become a ministry of propaganda. They're lying to the American public.
Definitely. It's amazing. It's like saying there's no long-term study on setting myself in fire and running around in traffic is better for me or not.
There are long-term studies. There's short-term, there's long-term studies. So they're lying. They know.
They're just outright lying. Definitely. Well, actually, I just saw yesterday the FDA approved a new flu vaccine, and this one says it's made out of insect viruses and recombinant DNA technology. Doesn't that sound like something straight out of a B-grade science fiction movie?
Well, you talk about lack of long-term studies. None of that has had long-term studies. Most of this stuff is being fast-tracked. That means they don't do adequate studies. There's zero long-term studies. They never do long-term studies on just childhood vaccinations. The longest the study they do is a month.
A month, wow.
They don't do long-term studies because they know what they'll find. Many of the neurological diseases, in fact, do not appear for as much as 4 to 5 years after the vaccination has been done. In fact, one of the big secrets of mercury toxicity is that the brain damaging effects can be delayed as much as 5 or 6 years. So most of the studies are cut off before that time, so they won't show the damage. It's all manipulation of the data.
It's amazing. Well, I just have one last question for you I'm curious about. We here at InfoWars a lot of times get ridiculed for our beliefs and putting this information out there. And I was just curious, what are some of the ways that the mainstream media and the medical community has ridiculed you for coming out against these things and speaking the truth?
Well, I don't pay any attention to them. You know, the science is on my side. None of them argue directly with me. I'm published in the literature, in the scientific literature. I can back up everything I say. For instance, they make all these statements. Offit, for instance, says, well, there's no mechanism to explain how vaccinations could cause autism. And then later in the interview, he says, well, I don't know anything about neurology. You'll have to ask a neurologist. Well, then how can he explain the mechanism? I've described the mechanism in the literature. I've published it. And it's well known, it's well demonstrated mechanism by which vaccines could produce this effect. So, you know, you have these people who know absolutely nothing about the brain, the effect of systemic immune stimulation on the brain, about brain development, about toxicity of the various agents like aluminum and mercury, and they're lying. It's just nothing but pure propaganda and outright lies.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Russell, Dr. Blalock. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And if you or somebody you know gets vaccines and believes the CDC's propaganda, you need to get The Greater Good. It is a in-depth analysis of what the medical tyranny of vaccines really are doing in this country, doing to our children. And you need to pick that up today at the InfoWarsShop.com. And that's it for tonight's broadcast. If you like what you saw, please do not hesitate to go to prisonplanet.tv and subscribe. One subscription is, I believe, 10 people now can log in with one subscription. And you'll get all of our in-depth analysis on these kinds of topics. And that's it for tonight's show. Please join us again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.